Our gospel this morning comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." Praise to you, Lord Christ, for your word. "I have some good news and some bad news," says the first mate to the poor souls being whipped as they drag on huge oars to row the galley. "First, the good news. You all get a break this morning." Cheers erupt up and down the line, but then he says, "The bad news is that this afternoon the captain wants to go water skiing." In the opposite order, the defense attorney says to his client, "I have good news and bad news. First, the bad news. The blood test came back and your DNA exactly matches the blood samples from the scene of the crime." "Oh no," cries the client. "What's the good news?" "Your cholesterol is down to 140. Three of our scripture texts this morning read like good news, bad news jokes. But it's not a joke. In Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8, the prophet tells the bad news first. "Those who trust only in human strength and who turn from the Lord are cursed. Such a person, as I told the children, it's like a scraggly bush turning brown and dry in the desert. The good news is that the one who trusts in God and places confidence in Him is blessed. That person is like a tree planted by a stream, always green, full of life." In Psalm 1, the good news arrives first. "The one who delights in God's law is blessed. He will prosper again like a watered tree by a flowing stream." The bad news is that the wicked will not fare so well. They'll be blown away like dry husks of grain which no one wants. God will not abide them among His people. Those Old Testament texts proclaim a fairly plain message. The good news is for those who live good and righteous lives. Bad news comes to people who live evil and lawless lives. God dispenses bad or good news according to our relationship with Him and His law. And that might cause us to take away a simplistic view of God's justice. Good people receive good news and bad people receive bad news. If you live right, things turn out well for you. If you do wrong, you will suffer for it. Be honest, hardworking, and kind, and you will be popular, happy, and prosperous. Be mean, lazy, and a liar, and you will end up poor, sad, and lonely. In the end, bad people go to hell. Good people go to heaven. We may even look at people as though that simple news is true in reverse. If someone is blessed with good news on this earth, then she must be a good person. If someone is having lots of troubles, then he must have done something to deserve it. If she's rich, she must be living right. If he's poor, then he's failing somehow. If he's happy, it's a sign of good character. If she's depressed, her life must be out of whack. If everyone likes you, you must be a nice person. If they all hate you, then you're a bum. The good news and bad news of life is based on how good or bad we are, according to that simple view. Here in Luke, though, what we usually call the Beatitudes are transformed into a very strange sort of good news and bad news story. In Matthew 5, Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. Here in Luke 6, it's the Sermon on the Plain, because verse 17 says a crowd came to hear Jesus as he stood on a level place. It's probably the same sermon. The level place was up on a mountainside. Luke just had shorter notes and remembers it in slightly different words. And Luke remembered the bad news as well as the good news in what we often call the Beatitudes. One of our Sunday school classes with Brian has been studying those. In good news, bad news jokes, the question's often asked, do you want to hear the good news or the bad news first? The punchline depends on your choice. The Pope gathers his cardinals and says, I have good news and bad news. Which do you want first? And the cardinals all say, good news. So the Pope tells them, okay, the good news is that Jesus has returned. They all shout hallelujah and praise God, but one of them thinks to ask, what's the bad news then? The Pope quietly replies, he just called me from Salt Lake City. Jesus offered the good news first. He does that at the beginning of our reading, reversing what people expected. In verse 18, it says, they had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Hear him and then be healed. But in verse 19, it's the healing Jesus offers first. For power came out of him and healed all of them. Then comes the sermon we're focusing on this morning. We might want to remember that order as we do ministry together. Here, Jesus brought the good news of help and healing before he challenged the way some of them were living. Some of us who are comfortable may need to hear bad news before the good news makes sense. But many hurting people need gentle, kind, good news before they can listen to the bad news about themselves. Guests at the mission and in our warming center need a meal and a warm place to sleep before hearing a sermon. Children in places like Haiti and Yemen and Sudan need to receive the love of Jesus in a cup of milk or a bowl of rice before we can tell them very much about how Jesus offers them eternal life. Here, Jesus paired up four sets of good news and four of bad news. In them, he turns our expectations all around. Jesus' good news is not for the people you might imagine. It's not for the nice people of the world, those who are successful or popular or always cheerful. Instead, his good news in verses 20 to 23 is for the poor, the hungry, the sad, the hated. His bad news in verses 24 to 26 is not for those you and I might pick out to deserve bad news. It's not bad news for liars and losers and lowlifes. No, Jesus has woes for the rich, for the well-fed, for the folks with smiles on their faces, for the person that everybody likes. Our problem is that Jesus' good news, bad news joke, is on you and me. We need to be honest. Most of us have bank accounts and paychecks. We're not poor. Many of us had breakfast this morning, and there are snacks after worship if you didn't. We're not hungry. A good number of us are generally pretty cheerful. We're not weeping. The majority of us are well-liked by those who know us. We are not hated. It sounds like Jesus' joke is on us. Don't get it wrong. It's not pious to be poor or commendable to cry. It's not wrong to be rich or loathsome to laugh. Jesus gladly went to dinner with the wealthy. Jesus told his share of jokes and must have made people laugh. He had both poor fishermen and well-heeled tax collectors among his disciples. His followers included the over-exuberant, ever-optimistic Peter, and also the down-in-the-mouth, always glum Thomas. He always had blessing people and woe people around him. The good news here is that there is good news for everyone. He has good news for anyone willing to listen to it, good news in the most unlikely circumstances. God does not intend to leave anyone out of his blessing. The poor are not poor because they have failed God. A man is not hungry because he's a sinner. A teenager is not unpopular because God doesn't like her. No. No one is beyond God, Jesus' blessing, beyond His love and grace. You are not beyond His blessing. You are included in these Beatitudes. The bad news is that there is also bad news for everyone. Being able to pay our bills does not make us right with God. Putting food on the table does not feed our souls. A good laugh makes us feel better, but may not build our character. Many people praising us does not mean God thinks we're praiseworthy. The fact is, it's dangerous to be wealthy or well-fed or cheerful or popular. Those conditions can all lead us away from the Lord. We are not beyond being led astray. You and I are included in these woes. Is it all just a joke then? What can we take away from these blessings and woes that will help us follow Jesus? Help us be people who really are blessed and who really can escape the woes He warns us about. For many of us, the answer has to be to let the woes do their work. It's sometimes said that the business of preaching is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. That's exactly what Jesus was up to here. And we need to let Him do it to us. If life is fairly comfortable for you, let Him make you a bit uncomfortable. Part of letting Jesus make us uncomfortable is remembering those who are always uncomfortable. If we have children we cherish or parents who took good care of us, let's bring to mind all those children in our own community trying to find love and care in a foster home. As we line up for snacks at the window there after worship, let's consider those who line up in refugee camps for a thin dole of soup. As we smile and shake hands with friendly people around us, let's not forget those who are ignored or mistreated because of the color of their skin. Let's be willing to hear our Lord's woe on our own well-being. Letting ourselves be uncomfortable for Jesus might include hearing a bit more about the situation of other people, maybe coming to one or both of talks scheduled next month. Kay Strom is going to speak about immigration, and Carolyn's friend Kara Meredith is going to talk about racial injustice. At the very least, let us be willing to hear what is said about how our own blessing and privilege relates to justice for others. I recently got an opportunity to think about my own blessed place in this world. As our daughter Susan came home to be with us last week, she expressed interest a week or two before in my father's background in Ukraine. She made some Ukrainian friends in Toronto, and their curiosity about her maiden name, Belinsky, made her curious. And in the process of trying to answer Susan's questions, I looked again at the sketchy information about my father and a fact that I was aware of but hadn't really thought about before. My father always said the official record stated that he was younger than he actually was. His papers said he was born in 1932, but it was actually, he said, 1927 or 28. Just a couple of weeks ago then, I realized for the first time why. Right after World War II, my father waited 3 years with his younger brother and their father in a refugee camp in Germany for permission to immigrate to the United States. He arrived here around 1948 and went to high school. But if he was born in 1928, he was too old for high school. He was an adult. And it suddenly dawned on me that my father's birth date was falsified so that he could enter this country as a minor child of my grandfather, rather than as an adult needing his own immigration status and clearance. I'm the child of a man who entered this country illegally with false documents. I have an undeserved blessing. I got to be born in this country under my father's false pretenses. I think that's what Jesus wants us to see here with His blessings and woes, is good news and bad news. None of the blessings, none of the good news is necessarily because we deserve it. It's all God's grace on sinners who truly and only deserve woe, who have whatever blessings we have under the false pretense that we merit them somehow. Jesus wants that realization to change the way we look at ourselves and our place in the world and the way we look at others around us. He wants me to have my heart broken for all those trapped in refugee camps or trying to enter this country or some other country where they'll be safer and better off. In a way, there really is no bad news here, even in the woes. It's only bad news to those who in the end choose not to hear it. Even when he says, woe, Jesus is bringing good news. His woe is not just a judgment, not just a warning. The word is huai in Greek. It's a crying sound, a lament, a note of divine pity sounded for those who will not admit their need. God loves them, but they do not acknowledge that they need to be loved. God wants to bless them, but they imagine that they can bless themselves. God wants, as Jesus said about Jerusalem, to gather them in his strong arms and carry them home. But they turn away and go somewhere else where they will never find rest. The book of Genesis talks about Abraham being blessed to be a blessing. That's the same message Jesus delivered there on that level spot on the mountain. We're all the same, level with each other in God's eyes. If we're blessed, it's only so that we might be a blessing to others. If we're suffering, it makes us no less loved or blessed in God's eyes. The world sees classes of people, those who belong and those who don't, those who have privilege and those who suffer injustice, those who earn their living and those who look for handouts. But in Jesus' sermon on the level place, that's all evened out. The blessings lift up those who are down, and the woes bring down those who are up there. On my blog, I posted a cartoon. A man sitting in the veterinarian's office, and the vet comes out to talk to him. She says, "About your cat, Mr. Schrödinger, I have good news and bad news." Schrödinger was the famous quantum physicist who posed a thought experiment about a cat locked in a box rigged so that if a random quantum event happened in an hour, the decay of a single atom, poison is released, and the cat dies. Now, this is just in thinking. It didn't really happen for all you cat lovers out there. If the atom doesn't decay, the cat lives. But it's uncertain, according to quantum physics, which will happen. Pure chance. Quantum mechanics suggests that at the end of the hour, until the box is actually opened and someone looks in to see if the cat's dead or alive, it's both. It's a paradox. That quantum paradox is like the joke Jesus tells here. His blessings and woes mean that you and I are both dead and alive in him. It's good news and bad news, both for us. Paul told the same joke in Romans 6, that if we die with Christ, we'll be raised with him. That's why he insisted so strongly in that reading we heard from Lily today from 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ has in fact been raised from the dead and is alive. It means that we too will be raised with him. And that's what Lily's baptism reminded us of last Sunday. We go down under the water being buried with Jesus, like Jesus was. And then we're raised up to new life, just like Jesus was. Yet right now, we're a little like Schrödinger's cat, both dead and alive. That old dead life of sin and all the woes that go with it are still with us. Yet the new life we have in Christ keeps calling us out into his love and blessing. How it's all going to turn out hasn't been quite determined yet. Jesus hasn't yet completely opened the box, hasn't quite put the punchline on his good news, bad news joke. Those blessings in the text are in the present, while the woes are in the future tense, still yet to come. Let's you and I seek with all our hearts and with everything we do to be on the right side of this joke when it's all over. Let's live in Christ and not die in sin. Let's give away at least some of what we have to be poorer now and rich then. Let's go hungry sometimes so that we can feast then. Let's let our hearts be sad with the sorrows of this world so we can laugh then. And let's not worry about what others think about us when we do what's right for Christ our Lord and name His name. And so then we can hop out of those lonely boxes of our graves alive into His eternal kingdom then. What Jesus said to those disciples in that level place, He says to us, we are blessed. Blessed by a God who has a marvelous sense of humor. Let's rejoice at the good news, weep at the bad news, and then laugh together at all of it forever. Amen.